You're listening to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder and Rhett Warner on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour three of the program, Boomer in the Morning here in the iconic downtown studios. We are powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. I know what you're thinking. You're like, man, I hear a lot about Iconic. I'd love to work for a company like that. You know what? Proudly owned and operated in Western Canada.
Good guys.
Since 08.
Gals.
Taking great pride, giving back to communities.
Fits the bill.
You won't even believe what I'm going to tell you.
Okay, fire.
Currently hiring fully ticketed tradespeople to fill all roles.
What?
Yeah. Learn more about job opportunities at iconicec.ca/careers. I'm holding my head. I can't even. Like,
I know.
OMG.
I've not seen your palm on your forehead for a while.
That's, OMG, LFG. You know what I'm saying?
LMFAO. And.
Hey, congrats to. You guys ready to give a round of applause?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Steven Kleingartner. Congrats to Steven Kleingartner. You know why, Rhett?
Big winner?
He's a big winner. Boomer's Picks for Wild Rose Brewery picks up a $50 gift card to the tap room. Six-pack of beer as well in there. The question we had, because coming up later on this hour, about 8:30, let's call it, Kirk Muller, Flames Associate Assistant Coach, is going to call us, and we'll talk some hockey with Kirk Muller, your former teammate. We'll see if how many of your stories hold up. We'll see. The question I had for you, 1984 NHL entry draft, Muller was taken second overall. Huge player for the Guelph Platers in the Ontario Hockey.
The who?
The Guelph Platers.
Not Planters?
No.
It wasn't the little peanut as the logo?
No.
The top hat?
No,
the
Ryan.
Can?
No. He went second overall. It was unbelievable. So somebody you would think more highly touted went first overall. And the question we had is, so Muller at two, well, who went at one?
Mm.
I know.
Mario Lemieux. Hmm. Now, did not play 1,000 games in the NHL.
Mario?
Yeah. Didn't get to 1,000.
Oh, jeez.
Did get over 1,000 points.
Oh, he has health issues.
Actually, he got over 1,000 assists, as it turns out. 1,723 points in 915 games.
Holy.
Yeah.
At one of his retirements, because he had a few, he went out with a 2.18 points per game, which was the greatest of all time.
His junior numbers are so funny to look at.
Yeah, it's not.
He had 133 goals in 70 games. And then threw in another 149 helpers, just for good measure. 282 in 70. So, and that's the thing. You can spin numbers any way you want.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
Just twist them. You can make them say whatever you want.
To form your argument.
Yeah.
But it turns out that maybe a pretty good pick at one overall. Up for debate, I suppose, though.
I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Pleased to be joined, good friend of the program, one of the show favorites. Listeners love him. We all love him. How don't you love him? He's George Russick, joining us from the Fan 590 and Inside the Lines.
Georgie,
how are you?
George.
What's going on? Really? I'm one of the favorites? Really?
Oh, yeah. Massive hit. Yeah.
But so is everyone else, so.
Yeah, we'd say it about anybody.
Just so your head isn't getting too big.
I do have a large cranium.
Well, it's to house all that football prowess and knowledge, you know?
Yeah, like, I have a hard time shopping for hats.
Well, Rhett has a hard time shopping for dress shirts, long arms.
Yeah, huge arms. Like, freakishly long.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't believe how long.
His nails hit the ground. He doesn't have to file them. They just drag on the side.
Big enough to go around your big head, though.
If he's in the passenger seat and you're going through a drive-through, he can reach through and just tap with his card to pay for it. I got it, guys.
I got it. Thanks.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
I don't pay for anything.
Like, you know, if you stretch out your arms from fingertip to fingertip, that's how tall you are. So, Rhett, your wingspan would be longer than your actual height.
That's correct. Yeah.
39 inches.
Oh. Yeah. Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you just went by the length of his arms, you'd think he's 7'2".
Yeah, like shopping for hats. I'm sure I'm not the only one listening who has these difficulties. You know when you get, like, one of those hats that says large, extra large, sometimes it's just not large enough.
Oh, no. Hmm. Well, you know what it is?
Yeah, it's snug.
Just get a haircut. You got too much hair. That's a problem.
I can't wear hats.
It's that wonderful coif that you've got. It's making hat buying a challenge.
Yeah, because...
get a haircut, you hippie.
You got to bring it down to the woods. Let's go.
There's also, like, age-appropriate hats. I'm not really a straight brim hat kind of wearing guy.
You don't sound like one.
I like. So it's not like I want to get one of those. Like Kyle Shanahan wears those straight brim hats.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like Kyle, you're in your mid 40s. Like you don't need to wear those hats. They look kind of weird.
He's
I don't
hip.
Know. Am I the only one who's noticed that?
No, he's very hip.
He's hip.
Okay.
He's a hip cat.
Okay.
Doesn't Kingsbury do the same, or he's...
There's some other guys, yeah. There's all kinds of hip cats. And
He sometimes goes, he shows off his hair, but Kyle Shanahan's the one who wears that straight brim hat.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be wearing that hat this weekend, because it's going to be freezing in Green Bay.
Yeah,
I
might audible go for the toque.
Wearing a toque.
Yep.
Minus 12-ish at kickoff? Oh, yeah. Georgie, the frozen tundra. Georgie!
Am I allowed to be on the show? Because I did call last week on your show that the Bills were going to hammer the Patriots.
All I know is that we had three show picks. You went against all of them and all three cashed, and we're not talking to you anymore.
Okay.
Well, you know, what it was, though, is we picked three. You went against all three. We went 3-0. And we haven't brought it up at all this week or trashed you on the air.
And we're not going to bring it up when we chat with you today.
Wouldn't dream of doing it because we appreciate you.
It's public,
and
we wouldn't do it.
We'd hate for you. I mean, we love you. You're one of the favorites.
I called the Bills. At least I got that one right.
You did call the Bills, but these other two donkeys that you're talking to, they weren't on the Bill train. So it has to be a team consensus.
All right. Well, let me tie it all together. That was last week. Now this week, the Buffalo Bills going into Kansas City. 1.5-point favorites are the Chiefs.
Oh. You can find 2.5 some places too, whatever you want there.
Are you buying in on the Bills?
Russick.
I get the feeling they're not going to go perfect offensively two straight weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. But if you look at this line, let me ask you guys this question.
Uh-huh.
Let me do the old flip it around to you radio move, which we've all experienced many times.
So
this line... Kansas City -1.5 on a neutral field. That means the Bills are 1-point favorites. Do you guys buy that?
1.5-point favorites. That's what the rules would tell you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's usually 2.5 at home, but whatever.
Okay. I thought it was 3. My bad.
It was 3. Either way.
Yeah. 2.5 at least.
2.75.
Don't question George. He's very smart.
Your big head.
Sorry, George. Go ahead with your big.
Smart is.
Your big hat.
Your massive skull.
There's a moon around my head. Are the Bills really 1 point better at home, like on a neutral field than the Chiefs? Like this is tough, right? Like everything seems like it's going Buffalo's way.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is clicking on all cylinders. The one thing I don't think we're talking enough about is the offensive line play of the Buffalo Bills. They have been fantastic here the last few weeks. And I know what the Chiefs did to the Steelers on Sunday night. Pittsburgh couldn't stop the run. Jerick McKinnon ran all over them. Opened up the pass. Patrick Mahomes had a big day, but that offense has looked a little disjointed at times this season. And Tyreek Hill is dealing with that heel issue. He wasn't as featured as much as usually is in that Sunday night game against the Steelers. Didn't really need him, but he's key. If he's banged up just a little bit, that takes away from their offense. And they're still looking, and I've talked about this on your show, they're still looking for that third option on offense. Can they hang with the Buffalo Bills here, who look so explosive, who are distributing the football so well? And Josh Allen's legs, my goodness, is he opening things up for the Bills and their passing game. The only thing I'm worried about with the Bills is Brian Daboll going to get too conservative, which he has done occasionally? Do they go for field goals? Do they go for the throat here? This game is such a coin flip for obvious reasons. Do I lean Kansas City a little bit because they're the Chiefs and at home? Yes. And do I need to see the Bills actually slay Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on the road? Sure. But doesn't it feel like, obviously, I'd like to see the Bills win. I'd like to see Rhett happy. That makes me happy. I'd like to see a lot of people who I live close to be happy. I know a lot of Bills fans in my life. But Kansas City is just 1.5-point favorites at home. When they've won these big games over and over again with Andy Reid at the helm, I don't know how you wouldn't lean Chiefs, but this game is so tough to call. I would lean Chiefs, but hope the Bills win.
And doing it again,
it's quite a soft shoe. That's all right. Little, hey, hello, my darling.
Toughest game of the week.
Spinning
that
big top hat.
Now, what if it's 2.5? Are you going to?
Again, anything under a field goal, right? Yeah. Mm.
Also on Sunday, for whatever reason, we'll work backwards. Tom Brady and the Bucks I mean, they won last week. They should have won. It was lopsided.
They beat a bad team.
What did we learn? Whatever. The Rams went and hammered what we thought was a good team at some points of the season, thought it was a great team. So the Rams, what you saw out of them against the Cards, is that enough to convince you that they can cover 2.5, plus 2.5 going into Tampa?
This is another fantastic matchup. Was that game Monday night more about the Rams' dominance on defense or Kyler Murray just wilting under the spotlight and losing his mind at times? I think it was a little bit of both. You have to credit what the Rams did. They just completely dominated that game. But the Cardinals didn't really have a big-time playmaker like a Mike Evans, and that potentially could be the difference. I think the key here in all of this, guys, is Tristan Wirfs and whether or not he's going to play the guard, the all-pro guard for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We saw how he got injured in that Eagles game. We saw how he tried to get back in here. And if he's not there blocking that very vaunted pass rush of the Rams, guys like Aaron Donald and Von Miller, who actually showed up in that playoff game against the Cardinals, that would be an enormous loss for this offensive line, because Tampa Bay is going to want to run the football a little bit here. Obviously, we don't know if Leonard Fournette is going to play. It looks like he is going to play. But just keep your eye on that Tristan Wirfs injury. If he is good to go on that O-line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, give me the GOAT and the champs at home, just getting 2.5 points. Can you really trust Matthew Stafford to beat the Buccaneers again? He had 4 touchdowns in that Week 3 matchup in Los Angeles, which was a total look ahead for Brady and the Bucs, because the following week they went to Foxborough and beat the Patriots on that Sunday nighter. I just don't know if I can trust Matthew Stafford to go out there and win this game on his arm. If Wirfs is good and that offensive line is solidified in Tampa, give me Brady and the Bucs -2.5.
I think with Wirfs, though, because I agree with his importance, but isn't it like a high ankle thing, right? Even if he does play, you know he's not close, because these guys at this point, if you can get out there, you're playing.
Yeah.
You'd like him to
it's
be a
huge.
Little bit more
it's
mobile.
Huge injury.
Right? Yeah, it is.
Like, it is so key to that game that it's not the sexiest thing to talk about offensive linemen, although some are very handsome. I think it's the key to this game. And if he's there, solidify that O-line, which has always been excellent under Tom Brady. And that stat against the Eagles, don't know if you guys saw it, he was throwing the ball in 2.14 seconds, which was the fastest out of any quarterback on Wild Card Weekend. Tom Brady gets rid of that football extremely fast. I think we'll see a lot of that on Sunday against those Rams. And if that O-line is good to go, I don't know how you can't take the champs here. This seems like a game they can win.
He's George Rusick, of course, with Sportsnet and Inside the Lines. Let's go Saturday. We'll start with the first game. Titans get the bye. The Bengals, they get it done last week. It's -3.5, so there's that big half point. The Titans need more than a field goal at home. Tough to take Tennessee here, or do you, with Henry coming back and Vrabel at the controls, do you like it?
All we've been hearing this week is they're the most overrated number one seed, in years. And, of course, things kind of broke their way. But if you look at that four-week stretch in the season where the Titans beat the Bills, the Titans beat the Chiefs, the Titans beat the Rams, they had an incredible run there. And Derrick Henry's back. He's going to be on a limited pitch count here, which I think is important. But they also got some healthy receivers, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but Julio Jones more name than anything. But if A.J. Brown is healthy, they'll be able to throw the football down the field. But the one thing we're not talking about is Mike Vrabel's defense and their front seven and getting to the quarterback. And if there's one thing, we talked about it last week, and there was instances where Joe Burrow was under duress against the Raiders. Max Crosby, was getting into the kitchen of Joe Burrow. Can they hold off that pass rush led by Jeffrey Simmons on the interior enough to get the ball to his playmakers like Ja'Marr Chase? This feels like a good spot for me if I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans. Can I really trust the Bengals to go on the road, especially with injuries on the defensive side of their pass rush? I don't love it, but I would lean taking the Titans -3.5 here at home.
There's a lot of leaning today.
There's a lot of leaning. But, but you know what, though? It is one of those weeks where, because I think last
week. A few days. It's all right.
That San Francisco line with everything that was going on, it felt like, this feels like a good spot. The other team that had the week off, the Green Bay Packers, the Aaron Rodgers and his toe feeling much better, as close to 100% as could be expected. They're getting some reinforcements coming back. San Francisco, you can tack a shoulder onto the hand issues for Jimmy Garoppolo, but aside from some issues near the end of that Cowboys game, they were full marks. They were mean and went in and beat Dallas. Now they go to Lambeau, Packers -5.5.
There's still whispers if Jimmy Garoppolo can play this game. There's still whispers out there. So if you like the Packers, jump on this line, because I don't even know where it goes to without Jimmy G under center. Does it balloon to 7.5? Does it balloon to 8.5? Probably if Trey Lance has to play this game for the 49ers. The one thing we've talked about for years with this Packers defense is their inability to stop the run. They've been good against the run this season. Can they shut down San Francisco? Does this turn into a game where they try to get a banged up Jimmy Garoppolo to beat them through the air? I think you got to lean Packers here. If this isn't the year for the Green Bay Packers, I don't know what is. And yeah, the Niners won that game against the Cowboys, but they wanted to hand it back there at the end. They got a little too conservative on offense. Kyle Shanahan in his straight brim hat got a little too conservative for me down the stretch there. We all saw that missed pass, two of them, where Jimmy Garoppolo spiked it in the ground to George Kittle, the missed pass to Brandon Ayuk. That could have been a home run play, even a touchdown pass. If it gets to where Jimmy Garoppolo needs to beat them through the air, I'm not sure he can, especially with the injuries he's dealing with at Lambeau, which, of course, blah, 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 will be the frozen tundra again on Saturday. I lean the Packers here. You can throw against the 49ers, and I get it. The pass rush has been getting home. Bose has been fantastic for the 49ers, but they don't have an answer for Davante Adams, and this could be a huge Davante Adams game for the Packers. I lean the Packers getting the 5.5 points here.
Rhett's having everybody over. He's whipping up some pan scramblers Sunday morning. You're welcome to come.
Okay.
It's not good for me to invite somebody to somebody else's house.
Open door policy.
But
please,
I just feel like,
of course George is invited.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shoveler's okay, going to have their best
hostess. So if I jump on a flight, do you think the bigwigs will pay for my flight?
Mm-hmm. It's business.
Just expensive.
Yeah, it's a company.
It's an expense.
So I would do Inside the Lines live from Rhett's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we would sit down and watch all the football.
We got the gear.
Yeah, Rhett's on the gear at home right now.
He's there right now. He's testing it.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds pretty good.
No, do it.
It's going to be awesome.
Book it.
Dean's bringing buffalo chicken dip.
I'm bringing a buffalo chicken dip.
I'm bringing my twins.
Now, that's really?
Yeah.
Buffalo chicken dip, too. How much blue cheese are you jamming into that thing? Because I think that's the key to a good buffalo chicken wing dip, is the blue cheese distribution. Because you can't have too much, but you got to have enough where you taste it.
It's a ratio issue, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a couple layers. I got a couple because I blend it with the cream cheese in there.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
And you know what? What I might do is just do dips on the side. So the blue cheese, cream cheese blend on the one side and the ranch cream cheese on the other. And just go just go straight buffalo chicken in the middle. Maybe some cheese on top.
Now, which chips do you use? Do you use the scoops or do you go traditional?
I'm fond of the scoops, but you know what I also do there, George? I'll grab a baguette and slice it up so you can have some fresh bread dipping in there, that big stringy cheese coming out. Get after it.
I'm not going to lie. It sounds pretty damn good.
All right, book it. Book it. We'll see you Saturday if you want to come early. See whatever flight's cheapest.
Okay.
Yeah, think of the company.
I don't want you taking the red eye, though. You'll be tired.
I need you, yeah.
Can I ask you guys this question again?
Yeah.
What is your – who are you guys feeling for the Super Bowl? Who do you think is going to be in the bowl? But who do you want to see in the Super Bowl?
Oh, gosh.
Who do I want? I want L.A. versus Buffalo.
Ooh, okay. Who do you think's going to be in red?
L.A. Buffalo.
Okay.
Or it might be L.A. Kansas City.
Okay.
I was
that Bills Chiefs game feels like the de facto AFC championship. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
I was really hoping for the Lions. You know, Dan Campbell, how can't you get behind that guy?
Gosh, biting
always
kneecaps, a good quote,
right?
Yeah.
Why don't we like the Titans again?
Because they had a week
off. They're
too
rested.
Yeah.
They're getting all fat and sassy, right?
Yeah. Because they're the best running back in the world is coming back for them.
Yeah, he's healthy. He's too rested.
And they won without him.
Hey.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Georgie, we got to run. We got a phone call coming in. Kirk Muller. Just slightly more important than you, but
look at that, getting bummed for Kirk Muller.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forget my answer. Okay. All right.
Inside what's your line answer?
Sunday, blah blah blah. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay. See you,
bye, George.
George.
Geez, sorry. Because he's going to call.
Man, big head and sensitive.
We had some time. We still could have got to his answers if he hadn't hung up.
No, it's too bad. If only he's still there. Oh, he's not still there. He is very sensitive. I guess having a big head will do.
I mean,
that.
He's not there.
We'll break Kirk Muller when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour three of the show continues. Welcome back to it. Boomer along with Pinder here in studio. Rhett Warner in his basement. But we are pleased to be joining the big game tomorrow. We're talking Bills and football on Sunday, but there is the Battle of Alberta. A bit of a wounded animal up the road. Calgary Flames get back on track the other night with a big win over Florida. We'll see how it goes. But our next guest, 1,349 NHL games, has spent over a decade behind NHL benches. He's the associate coach of the Calgary Flames, and as Rhett Warner said earlier this morning, really should have gone first overall in the 1984 NHL entry draft. Kirk Muller joins us. Kirk, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Talk about a snub, eh?
Yeah, I mean...
Jeez.
Mario Lemieux, hey. He didn't even play 1,000 games, right?
I'd still be pissy.
People ask me that question all the time, and I say, thank God I did go second. Imagine if you went first over Mario.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
That's true. Jeez.
Stinking Muller screwed it. He wasn't better than Mario.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be in Pittsburgh. Don't go to Pittsburgh ever if that's the case, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we were pressing Rhett early. He's like, yeah, I'm Kirk Muller. We were teammates. So we pressed him a little bit. So, okay, prove to us that you really know who Kirk Muller is.
Yeah.
And he trotted out some stories. What are some of these stories, Rhett? Because it seemed to kind of pass the test.
Well, it was the Christmas. I think you had three daughters already at the time, and you were going for number four. And there was the doctor wrote down the gender of the child, and it was another girl, I think. It was a Christmas in Florida.
100%.
I think that there was a party at your house, a Christmas party. I'm not sure if it was Christmas or not, but it was a party at your house, and our goalie may have tumbled off of the bar and ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you know what? If that was the case, that was probably then I built that bar. That's all.
I don't think it had anything to do with the bar.
Yeah,
breaking.
It was not cars. Yeah.
I'll take the blame on the construction.
Yeah,
of it.
Structurally sound. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do know that Red threw a very nice Halloween party at his little pool party there in Florida. So he reciprocated. So very nice gesture.
Great. Well, that was Kirk's house.
That was Kirk's house. Yes. You guys are the ones that hosted. You're the young buck.
Good of Rhett to host a party at somebody else's house. Very generous of him.
Social people. Just stirring up the crowd.
That's how we played 800 games. You're smart.
We've been bugging the Flames to get you on for months now. What do they even bring it up to you, or are you too busy?
Wow, you know, priorities, you know, it's...
power plays.
It's a bit of a shot there. Oh, boy. I guess we know
I'll blame Pete. No, it's been a lot of fun. It's been, I know it's been a great hockey town, and, you know, when you move into a new spot, it's get your feet wet and get it settled in, and, you know, it's been fun. It's a great group of people. It's a great city. I always liked it, and it's been a nice experience so far.
Has it been more difficult, you think, with COVID and stuff? Has it held things back at all? Or I don't even know what the rules are as far as restrictions for you guys. Are you able to go out for suppers and stuff now? Or are you?
Yeah, well, it changes, as you know. You know, it's and with us traveling over the border and going from country Canada to states and different provinces and different states, and the rules, you know, change everywhere. You know, we go, you know, some days on the bench wear the mask, sometimes we don't. So we follow the rules. We do what they tell us to do and march on. But I think the biggest thing is just the momentum, you know, like playing and then the stoppage. And then, of course, you know, the COVID going through the organization, and the, you know, the 10 days of staying home. It's just kind of really, you know, cut into the momentum of what these guys are so programmed to do is play hockey games and play it consistently. So we know it's going to happen, you know, really starting now. We're going to get loaded up, and I think that's a good thing for our guys.
Yeah, there'll be no excuses for getting out of game shape moving forward.
No. And you know what? They want to play. You know what? That's what they're programmed to do. They want to play hockey games, and you know, they're not used to, you know, more than 2 days in a row of a practice, and it's they're ready to go again. So we're going to get hit with a lot of games, and like I say, I think we're all looking forward to getting going that way.
So I'm looking at your career, and I know I played against you and I played with you. Did you have Montreal the favorite spot? I mean, Jersey, you guys were terrible in Jersey, weren't you?
Jeez.
Well, Montreal, you win a cup. The Islanders with the stupid jerseys. That was when they had
the Captain Highliner?
Yes, yeah. Kirby Muller and the Captain Highliners.
Yeah, we got a little bit of abuse from on the road with those jerseys. But, you know, every place is special. And I think it's, you know, I look at the markets I was, you know, lucky to play in, and you know, here I'm in Calgary in Canada, playing Toronto, Montreal. So you get the vibe of playing for a Canadian, you know, city and what that means, and you know how the pressure and the excitement that you know you come out every night to these arenas. But it's just so much fun. And like you know, you and I playing in Florida and down deep south, and you know, with the great crowds they had at that old Miami arena, and. I think, you know, like playing in Dallas, probably the best team I played on, you know, get a chance to play with star players like Duandike and Hall. And
that was a good team, eh?
It was a very good hockey team. And you know, those playoffs are probably the best hockey I was probably a part of because of the, you know, you're playing Colorado with Forsberg and Sakic, and you're playing Detroit with Eisenman and Fedorov. And so it's just, you know, it was a really tough conference at the time, but at the end of the day, I think you know what it's just it's a hockey that we all love and shows that it goes well in all these different types of markets. And but you know, won a cup in Montreal, so obviously that's what you're after, right? So you get, you know, fond memories of that.
What was going back to Montreal like on that coaching staff, and how do you look back at last year, which is a really turbulent one, where you got off to a great start? They made the changes on the coaching staff, and then they got on that second heater of the year. I mean, that's a really roller coaster year for that crew.
Yeah, it was well, a lot of pressure there, you know. And you know, we came out of the gate, and if you remember last year, you know, running through the north here, we got off to a, you know, really fabulous start and a lot of success, and we're rolling along pretty good. And hit a little bump in the road for a bit, and you know it's.
Burge doesn't know what he's doing, so don't worry, it's not your fault.
and you know what? It's that's part of the game. You know, we all know it's kind of a little short season, and decisions were made, and you know, it happens quick. So, you know, I've been around long enough that's part of the game, and you move on. So, No, it was like you say, it was a team got off to, you know, off to a start where we knew that we weren't, you know, going to continue at that pace, and then things will settle down a little bit. And then, you know, but when you get a guy like Carey Price that played the way he did in late in the year, he's rested and he's a good goaltender, you know, he can certainly win hockey games for you. So they put it together. They played well and moved on in the playoffs.
So what should they be doing there? Is it time to seriously unload vets, or are you sort of seeing it as, well, maybe one or two guys and work with some of the kids? I feel like that's a real interesting offseason for that new management team there.
Yeah, well, it's a new direction, you know, to be honest. It's hard when you're not inside the walls there to see, you know, the real pulse of everything. It's, you know, it's a competitive group, proud group there. And, you know, I the only thing I could say is I know that everyone that's there, as far as the veteran guys, the core, you know, they like it there. So I can't imagine they're asking to move on or anything. So it's a matter of, you know, most organizations, you start with your core and you build through that. So, you know, it's new faces, new ideas, and that would be something that they're going to have to sit there and, you know, evaluate.
So did you reach out, did you know Daryl Sutter? I mean, you knew him, but you always hadn't worked or played for him before, had you, before hooking up here?
No. Just playing against Daryl, and you know, I worked with you know, Brent over coaching with him, and played with Brent over in the World Championships as a player and as a coach to him a few years ago. You know, of course, played against all the Sutters over the years, obviously in Daryl. But
have you learned it where he places his hat? The mood he's in. Have you picked up on that? If it's a slight tilt to the one side, you got to be careful. If it's up high, it's all good. Life's
where's the hat?
No, you know what? I love it. You know, he's competitive. He wants to win, and you know what? That's we're in a competitive market, right? In a competitive league, and you know, it's contagious. You know, he brings it to the table. He demands a lot, but that's good because he demands a lot from himself as well. And you know where you stand with them, and it's just a matter of going out and getting the job done.
I was going to ask you, Kirk Muller, associate coach of the Flames, is our guest here on Sportsnet. Looking at some of the guys that you worked with, worked for, Guy Carboneau in Montreal, Claude Julien, of course, Ken Hitchcock. There's some Jack Adams winners in there. For Daryl, I love watching the way he works a bench, just with the soft touches here and to let guys know that they're up or moving guys around. Is there anything, how is he different from other guys that you've worked with, or what similarities or what makes him unique as a coach that you've seen through 35 games?
Well, you know what? The last three coaches I've worked with really are all Stanley Cup coaches, you know, Hitch and St. Louis, you know, Claude and, you know, winning the cup in Boston, working with him in Montreal, and then with Daryl. And the one thing that all three have similarities is that the preparation. You know, the part that people don't see is, you know, how hard they work and how much they're prepared, how much the other team prepared, how much they dissect the opponent. So I would say that's a pretty common ground for all those three guys and how they've had longevity and success. But what I like about Daryl is that he speaks to the players like as a coach, but also like as an ex-player. And, you know, and if I sit back and listen to the things that he says, it's sort of how you would think, you know, the game as a player and the little details that way, but presents it in a coaching type style. So the little things that are the little intangibles of a game, you got the analytics, of course, and, you know, the other teams, all that, but those little things that you think of as a player and, you know, personnel and, you know, habits they have and all the stuff you think going into a game, you know, he picks up on that stuff. So, you know, I enjoy game days of dissecting things like that because he's well-prepared and he's a student of the game. And that's why I think he has a lot of success.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So let's use the other night. It's a 7 o'clock start. It's a home game. What does Kirk Muller's day look like? When do you get into the rink? What are your jobs and kind of priorities, and what do you need to get done, and how does the day unfold?
Yeah, I think our staff pretty much gets over here around, 7:30 in the morning, you know, and, basically we all have our roles, you know. You know, for me, working on the power play and working on stuff with individuals for forwards. And, you know, Husky's got the D and, you know, the PK. And, you know, Kale, you know, dissects the other teams in preparation. And of course, Dale overlooks everything. So, you know, Barnes has got the goalie. So, collectively, everyone's got their roles. And we hammer it out. We get everything prepared for the guys for meetings and practices, you know, on a game day. Lineups, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, all that's, you know, is done prior to the morning skate. And then from there, you know, you kind of go back, have a little meal together, and then right back at the rink around 3:30 or 4, and kind of, you know, get around and, you know, finish off any little loose ends that you think you need done before the game, before the players come back. And then, of course, game time, it's your job's done. You've done your preparation, hopefully, and it's time for the players to take it on and hit the ice.
Now, Rhett, that's too much time at the rink, right? Rhett's thing has always been.
Like, really? Work smarter, Kirky. Not harder. Work smarter.
It's too long a day.
Too long of a day. Well, you know, it's interesting now. And here's the difference today is the players, how they like to get information compared to, say, guys like Rhett and I. It's and I think that's where you see the staff is that they really love to get information back from video and sitting down one-on-one and all that. So, you know, we were brought up with, you know, verbal, you know, critiquing or, you know, showing what you're doing well and all that. Yes. And motivation.
Verbal motivation. Yeah. That, wow. Okay, does that sound nice and fun? Holy.
Yes. But today, you know what? They want you to show them that it's, you know, it's how they're brought up. It's how they're taught. And it, you know, it takes more time. So, you know, obviously, you know, video is a big part of teaching. You know, a lot of times now there's not much practice time, so you can't correct everything on the ice. You don't have enough time. So, you got to you got to teach, you got to motivate, and you got to prepare. And there's so many different ways of doing it now that takes up a little bit more time than the past. And you know, you got to be ready to do it.
But it's
Yeah, Rhett told the stories. Go ahead, sir. I'm Rhett.
Do you still have your watch? Like, you were the first guy I played with that got to 1,000 games.
Yeah, and
we had to buy a watch.
I do. You guys gave me a beautiful watch.
We had to buy you a watch.
I mean, we wanted to congratulate you.
I mean, I'm broke, I'm a kid. No. I got no money, and they're calling chip in for Kirky's watch. What? Jeez.
Hey, look. The worst part is it's probably only about my sixth game in Florida in the 2000s.
I did the math on your numbers. I'm like, I think he's, yeah. I was like, 97, 98.
If it makes you feel better, I still have it and I still wear it. So
good.
Guy's been here for 2 weeks. I'm buying him a watch. What the hell's going on?
Oh my, that is so true. It, honestly, it had to be like really early on, within under 10 games that I
well, yeah, because he only played 10 with us in 96-97, and it was 97-98 year, so it was just
yeah,
into the second year.
Yes, exactly.
The good
exactly.
news is, Kirk, though, is that he's let go of it. It still doesn't matter.
He's still yeah, happy for you, yeah.
Yeah, good thing he doesn't hold a grudge.
That's right.
I was happy to do it.
And by the way, I did see your counterpart this summer, Terry Karkner.
No way. Is he big as a house? I heard he was a giant.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's like an apartment now.
Oh, boy.
But no, he's back. He's from the same area I grew up in, around Kingston, and he got back there this summer. So wow. He's doing great, actually. I should pass it on to you.
Yeah, I haven't seen him forever. We text and talk the odd time, but no, I haven't seen him for a long, long time. I'm glad he's doing well.
Doing well. He's doing well.
That's a dangerous wounded animal you got tomorrow night, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's you know, you watch last night's game and you look at that first period and they came out hard and they obviously were mindset of putting pucks to the net and loading up. So, you know, Florida's goalie was sharp in the first period there. And so we got to be ready, you know. I mean, we got to focus on us and everything, but, you know, we can't look. It's the same story, you know. Anytime you play a rival, you throw out certain stats and all that. It's competitive games and it's the Battle of Alberta. So, you know, we got to go in there anticipating it's going to be a hard game. And we got to be ready, and we got to build off of last game.
Well, Kirk, we're happy to finally get you. Big football weekend. You guys play Saturday. We're looking for a win. Rhett's having people over for football. Big Bills fan on Sunday. He's making pan scramblers. We're inviting everybody. So come on over if you want to get back at him for whatever he's done at your parties over the years. It's time to make good.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to take you up on that. So thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, jump off a bar, spill some dip, or whatever you need to do, yeah?
Well, there'll be some good football games. So yeah. My Steelers are out. So
Steelers, come on. Tough go. Are you sad to see Ben go, or are you okay with it?
Well, it's been
time.
Amazing. Yeah. You know what? It's a good time to probably walk away. He's done so much, and he's been a great quarterback for a long time, and he's won. So it's happened to all athletes. You know, it's that time to kind of move on a new chapter.
Kirk, thanks, man. Good to talk to you. Good luck tomorrow. We'll see you Sunday for Pan Scramblers.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There he goes. Kirk Muller, good Kingston boy right there. That's there what you go. Got. Good Kingston boy. So you do know him, all right. See, Redwood, not calling you a liar.
Yeah, you did.
Maybe a little bit.
How much is that watch?
I don't know. Kirkner bought it.
Did he?
Yeah, divide something 22 ways. That shouldn't be too bad, right?
It shouldn't be too
bad.
No. You're what, 19?
Grand each. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Each? I thought he was going to say I was only in Florida and then I lost it. Like, I thought that's what the story was going to be.
I went fishing and I'm upset.
But that happens, right? Because remember, Owen Nolan come here? Because he just played the 1 year and he was here for not that long. He's like, we got to buy him a
silver stick.
We got to buy him a gator or one of the, like a Jeep or something.
Right,
like,
yeah,
what the hell?
Outdoors.
Yeah. We got to get it going here. Time for what you want to talk about. It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out. You got your weather stripping. You got door sweeps. Architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. So what you want? 960, 960. She's abbreviated today. We got to get to some spots. We got Flames Talk with Pinder coming up after the top of the hour. 960, 960. Wow. The 83, we were talking about that draft, right? 84.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody talking about 1983. Yeah, there's some good drafts out there. There are some years where you look at it and it's like, that was a hell of a year to select first overall or third or 10th or 15th. Pat LaFontaine, Steve Yzerman, Tom Barrasso, not a nice human, but
really?
Bad
guy.
Yeah, good goaltender. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
John McClain. Cam Neely.
Cam Neely.
Yeah.
And then traded to Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, don't make that trade.
Vancouver,
for
boy,
sure,
what are you doing?
Don't make that trade.
Oh, my goodness. Cam! Seabass!
Gary Roberts taken in the 84 draft, that Muller-Lemieux draft. Flames at 12th overall had Gary Roberts.
I'm
just looking.
Because
they only had, there were 21 teams there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
Friday,
7,
right? He needs this.
8. Nearly half of the guys taken all played over 1,000 games. That's decent.
But yeah.
You don't even need scouts.
Yeah, look at this 2021 class. Doesn't even have a single 1,000 game
guy. That's right.
Lazy kids.
I wonder if there will even be a show Monday morning. Someone suggesting that we would have such a good time on Sunday that we wouldn't be. Come on now.
We'll still be up. We'll
is
be
that what they're wondering?
Celebrate.
We just got to roll out of our sleeping bags and use Rhett's machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to come in, no matter what.
I was going to say, stop weeing it.
Yeah.
You need someone running the board here.
Yeah, I'll
get
be here.
Over.
No one else knows how to do it.
There's 48 beers here for me to continue the day, so.
Oof.
I'll ask you this, Rhett. I was going to put in the notes, ask Rhett. I see Buffalo. The rumor is that the Sabres are going to bring back the Buffalo head black, silver, red jerseys.
Yeah, the goat.
You dig? Or
the goat head.
I'm a traditionalist, but I know, like, my kids, they love that one.
The Buffa Slug was the real mistake, the yellowy one.
Yellow,
that was horrible. Yeah. I didn't mind the old goat head.
There was a lot going on, though. They had the buffalo on the shoulder, and then the angles and the numbers and letters are a little bit...
Yeah, the numbers and letters were weird, now that you mentioned that.
Yeah. Goodness, is that Muller ever a great guy or what? A warrior, personable, nice. I could listen to him all day.
Well, you just hit the podcast, you repeat, boom.
I remember he was assisting in Montreal at the time. I think I'm trying to look at his... Yeah, it would have been Montreal at the time. And one of our salespeople was absolutely hammered drunk in the hot stove lounge.
Really?
And as Muller was going to the bus, he went flying out of the hot stove lounge, mm-hmm. like yelling, "I can't get it!" Meanwhile, it was a sales staff telling us, like earlier in the week, you know, we have to. It's a place of business.
Tone it down, guys.
We bring our clients in there, and we can't have you guys horsing around,
milling about.
"I can't get an autograph." Sober up, Hugel. 969.60.
Wow.
How often would you get a new jersey while you were playing, Rhett? Like, how many would you go through in a season?
You play New Jersey twice a year?
New Jersey jersey?
I don't know. That was certainly not my decision.
You just wear the one on the hanger, eh?
Yeah, it's hung in your... I didn't go back in the stalls and rummage around.
You weren't asking
coffee on this.
Hey, Gus.
Too much Gatorade. Yeah.
This one smells like poop. Puke.
I think probably as many as they sold, they need to get a new one.
Okay, Rhett, you need some details here because we've been talking pan scramblers all morning. People want to know, what am I putting in it? How do I start? What are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, fry up the old sausage or grill it or
so
whatever.
Some breakfast sausage?
Breakfast.
Yeah. No?
I don't really like the breakfast. I'm okay with the breakfast sausage if there's nothing else, but I would rather go with a nice chorizo, maybe a spicy Italian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gabagool.
And you want to slice it angled, right?
Yeah.
Get a little slice to on the side
chorizo.
There.
Yeah.
You got to get the crispy hash browns.
Oh.
You don't want the mush.
Starving.
You want a mushy hash brown.
So, like, are we making these ourselves? Cutting potatoes, cubing them?
No, those things never work out. I've tried it. That doesn't work out. You got to get the frozen ones and lots of oil. Like deep fry them.
Yeah. All right. So cubed some hash browns. Now we got sausage. What else? Where are we going to?
Yeah, I like the green onion. Mm-hmm. Some salsa, medium spice, not too spicy. I like salsa in there.
You ever go salsa verde? You've tried that? That's a move.
I haven't.
Oh, salsa verde.
I could do that. It wouldn't upset me at all.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Lots of cheddar, sharp cheddar.
Ooh.
Not mild or medium.
Yeah.
I want some flavor from my cheddar.
Sure.
Get that in there. Scrambled eggs. Although, personally, I don't mind when you just fry them and there's a little bit of yolky running around.
Yeah,
there.
Some rooster juice in there.
Mm-hmm.
You dig that?
Yolky.
I do.
Now, when we went, like you had them poached, poached hard, poached soft in there?
It's poached medium. Poached medium at the most.
Want a little runaround, you got to go medium or soft.
I do like the runaround.
And if I'm really feeling it, I'll make like a sauce.
Oh.
Maybe a hollandaise, or, and throw that on top, too.
I'm dying.
For you guys, I'm going to do that.
I'm dying over here.
I'm absolutely dead.
I am dying over here.
Riley, you want to do the nine? We're going to go for breakfast.
Side of bacon, and crispy bacon on the side, and then a potato toast. Nice.
So
lots of butter.
Why are you so fond of the potato bread?
I don't know.
Yeah,
the shuffler found this potato bread from one of the markets, and it's like, whew. Toast that up with lots of butter. So good.
Hey, Rhett. MVP of the show today.
Oh,
congratulations.
Wow.
Unbelievable week. Ed Jovanovsky, Kirk Muller, you've been engaged. You've been up. You've been at it. I wasn't sure. You sounded a little logy there. You had the Flemburger going at the start of the show, but man, you crushed it today.
I coughed up a big Flemmer. So
I bet you did.
Dean was MFing you last week. What a performance this week.
Are you putting that in the pan scrambler or...
I might if you guys piss me off.
You watch yourself, dude.
Not in mine, but
very salty. Very salty.
It's for a cob.
What you want to talk about? Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out. Weather stripping door sweeps. Architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Enjoy the Battle of Alberta. Enjoy the football. Have a weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. See ya, buddies.